going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Major is also the host of America Decides on CBS News 24/7. And Major Garrett also happens to be the only Padres fan I've ever met. Major is with us on 104.1 KMOX, the first place San Diego Padres. How's it going, Major?
Very well. I thank you for noting that. First place status for the Padres.
Yep. Yep. Hey, they're a good baseball team. Before we get into the crappy stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I feel like every time we talk, it's crappy stuff. You love baseball. Mm-hmm. What is a thing about baseball, however, that annoys you? Is there something about the game of baseball that annoys you?
Yeah, I really don't like the extra inning runner on second base, new rule.
The ghost runner.
I like most of the other rule changes. I like the pitch clock. I like three pickoff throws. If you don't get them in three pickoff throws, then the runner automatically advances. I'm fine with that. But I don't like the automatic runner to start the 10th inning. I would hold that off until the 13th or 14th inning. But I'm not going to win that battle. Major League Baseball has made that determination. So that's the one thing about baseball that annoys me, but not very much about baseball annoys me. It is a great game. It always has been, always will be. It's the most geometrical sport that you can watch, and it is the sport that has the most internal intrigue, play in and play out, and that's why it's the greatest game ever invented.
Oh, wow. See? That is high praise. Well, thank you, Major. Well, now I'm gonna shift.
Okay.
I know. All right, now the crap. Now I know, Ron. She's like, you bring up the bad stuff. but Russia launches one of the deadliest strikes on Kyiv since last summer. Trump wrote on Truth Social, "Vladimir, stop," which has real Surrender Dorothy vibes to it, and a very serious situation. Of course, Donald Trump said, going into the election, that he could end this war in a day, in 24 hours.
Yep.
Where are this is, I guess, the first time that Trump has kind of almost called out Putin?
Yeah.
Where are we with this?
So we've experienced this in the first Trump administration. We are experiencing it anew. Not Russia. I'll get to that in a second. What we're experiencing is the idea that every day with Trump is a brand new day in the sense that nothing ever said before has any relevance to what happens today. This has been true with tariffs. It's been true with lots of other policy things. Our adversaries, in particular Putin and Xi in China, remember things from a couple of weeks ago. I'm getting to the point with Russia. About 10 days ago, the Russians sent what's called a double-tap munition into a place called Sumy in Ukraine. Killed a bunch of civilians. What's a double-tap munition? It's one that explodes and then explodes a second time when first responders arrive. Oh. It is meant and designed to be lethal not once but twice. Lethal the first time, then lethal the second time when people responding to the first strike arrive. When asked about it, President Trump says it was a mistake. I think it was a mistake that Russia did that. If there's any kind of munition that could never be a mistake, could never be fired accidentally, could never be deployed in a mistaken way, it's this kind of munition. Why do I bring this up? Because Putin internalizes that in a very direct and simplified way. I will be excused for almost anything, even something that is intentionally lethal, not to just one round of civilians, but the responders who come to save those still living from the first round. That happened about 10 days ago. So I don't know why it would surprise President Trump at any level that Putin would continue to use destructive munitions, missiles, rockets on civilians. This is what he has been doing through all the ceasefire negotiations that have largely been rhetorical but not real. And one social media post that says, Vladimir, stop. I mean, it's almost, not only is it a surrender Dorothy line, it's like a parody of itself. What? Have you been watching what's gone on the last 3 or 4 weeks? I mean, yes, the Ukrainians will lob something here or push the Russians back here, but the vast majority of aggression, all the while of the Trump presidency, has been Russian, aggressively so. And the fiction continues to perpetrate that it is somehow Ukrainian intransigence that's the ultimate problem here. Well, when you keep confusing who started this war, that kind of misaligned judgment about who's really at fault persists. And that misaligned judgment about who's at fault benefits one belligerent in this war. And trust me, the Ukrainians are not the original belligerent. The Russians are. So the Russians remember, just as the Chinese remember. And the Russians were preparing themselves for a Trump presidency, just as the Chinese were preparing themselves for a Trump presidency. And the Chinese and the Russians are making it very clear they are prepared and willing to outlast Trump on whatever his social media post is or whatever his endeavors are if it conflicts with their short, medium, and long-term interests.
Meanwhile, the threat of tariffs, the implementation of them, the pulling back of them has created over the weeks a lot of confusion, and there are lawsuits that might be playing out in order to stop these tariffs from happening because of the damage they appear to be doing to the economy. What do we know about how he plans to move forward with them if there is an off-ramp? If something might happen here, is there any indication we'll have a resolution on this?
I can't answer that question. It's a great question. There is no answer to it because if the markets had it, they would respond in a certain way. If the Fed had a certain answer, it would respond a certain way. No one knows the answer to that question. Great question. Everyone's asking it. Nobody has an answer. But I do think I can cut through some of the mystery. This week on Tuesday was the most important day of the Trump presidency 2.0, Tuesday of this week. Three things happened that are enormously important. He called April 2nd Liberation Day. Tuesday of this week was Recalibration Day. These three things happened. One, in a reverse order. So I'll go to the latest thing, and then I'll talk about the others. The latest thing that happened on the Tuesday was on the earnings call for Tesla, Elon Musk announced he was backing off of Doge and getting out of a less prominent role with the Trump administration. The second thing that happened earlier before on that day, on Tuesday of this week, President Trump, when asked by reporters, said he had no intention of firing Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. And the third thing that happened on Tuesday of this week, Recalibration Day, I'm calling it, was Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary of the United States, declared what was going on with China was in effect a trade embargo, and it was unsustainable, and a deal would be struck. All three of those were rhetorical and policy reversals of enormous magnitude. Musk getting out of his prominent role, his radioactivity now clear politically to the Trump White House, and the roadblocks, legal and otherwise, to Doge cutting all the things it said it was going to, $1 trillion. It's going to get maybe $100 billion, which is not nothing, I grant you, but it's a far cry from what was promised. Trump, after badgering the Fed and the Fed chair and leaving it uncertain whether or not he would attempt to fire the chairman of the Federal Reserve, backs off unequivocally, and Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, declares something with China, a trade embargo, which, and you were kind enough to mention it, on America Decides, I opened my program on April 11th. You can go back and look at it. I opened the program saying, stop talking about tariffs with China. We don't have tariffs with China. We have a trade embargo. When our tariffs are 125% and theirs are 148%, no one's trading. It's an embargo. 11 days later, the Treasury Secretary said the same thing in a private meeting with investors, acknowledging something the Trump administration had refused to acknowledge in the intervening period of time. On Tuesday, all three of those things were recalibrated, meaning reversed. I'm not saying this is the end of everything. I'm just saying on Tuesday of this week, the super confident, super aggressive, it's all going to work because we know what we're doing. Masters of the Universe, Trump administration backed off on three significant fronts. And I think on Tuesday of this week might have been the most structurally significant of the first 100 days of the Trump presidency.
Major, in the aftermath of Signalgate 1 and Signalgate 2, as well as the firing of three of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's top aides, where do you place the stability or certainty of his position right now as Secretary of Defense?
So it's stabilized for a couple of reasons that are not related directly to the issues you just raised.
Okay.
One, Trump came to the conclusion after his first presidency was over that he fired too abruptly, that he either caved into establishment Republican pressure, media pressure, or his own internal whims, and that he maybe had hired poorly in the first place. The people he thought were loyalists weren't. So his inclination now is to stick with people, even if he thinks he might have gotten it wrong. But he doesn't want to bow to media pressure. He doesn't want to bow to establishment Republican pressure. He doesn't want to act as if second phase of MAGA has any cracks in it or can make any mistakes. Doesn't want to admit any of that, even though recalibration day this week suggested otherwise. But on personnel, he sort of dug in. The second reason he doesn't want to fire Pete Hegseth among any of his cabinet secretaries is the White House and the MAGA social media echo chamber really worked its tail off to get him confirmed. Doesn't want to have put all that effort, which went through the nomination process, a grisly month of negative publicity in December, lots of Republican skepticism and resistance in January to push him over. All of that effort, all of that energy was expended to get Pete Hegseth in this position. So for those two reasons, quite separate from his capabilities or conduct, whether it's defensible or indefensible, they just don't want to give in on this one because they worked so hard to get it, and Trump believes he fired too rapidly the first time around. Those are the things that are keeping Hegseth in position right now. Those are the things, not his capabilities, and certainly not his explanations or his attitude about doing something that is demonstrably wrong. Demonstrably wrong. That is not a partisan observation at all. It is demonstrably wrong to share any sensitive information on Signal, an unsecured commercial app. Demonstrably wrong. And if you were a rank-and-file member of the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, you'd be prosecuted immediately. 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 You'd be court-martialed. And you'd be in a world of hurt. That's just a fact. And nobody disputes that. Nobody who's credible in this space disputes that. But he's a defense secretary, and he is, for the moment, immune from that level of accountability. And you would never share that kind of sensitive information on a Signal, unsecured commercial app, with your wife, your personal attorney, and your brother, none of whom has security clearance of any length, of any kind whatsoever. It's just wrong, flat out wrong. But because of Trump's general sense, he doesn't want Hegseth to go, doesn't want to cave, thinks it's an old story. It's not an old story. No one's ever done this before. It's a very brand new story, actually. He doesn't want to budge.
Major Garrett, any news for us on the thing?
I will have an announcement for you about the thing of the thing on May 12th.
May 12th.
All right. All right. Write it down.
I'm writing it down right now. I have one piece of paper. I wrote it down, and I will save this piece of paper.
You know, you can put it in your phone.
Oh.
I'm sending it to everyone I know on Signal.
Oh, okay. Well, on Signal. Don't forget the Atlantic reporter, though.
I'm calling. Jeffrey Goldberg will be on it. Yes, it's going to be my super secret Major Garrett May 12th news. That's the name of the group.
Yep. Exactly.
Major, we appreciate
you,
as always.
All right, we'll talk next week.
Chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, Major Garrett. He is on America Decides on CBS News 24/7.